And here we are for part two of our conversation plus compassion equals community. Wow, welcome back. This is fantastic. So, Robin, what were you just asking Mariam?
Mariam, I was wondering where you grew up as a child.
Yeah, so I grew up in Malindi, a small town in Kenya.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So it is owned by a tribe called the Giriama. A very pagan, very primitive back then, you know, in 1972, my father was exiled from Somalia for political reasons.
Oh.
So he came to Kenya in the 60s.
Wow.
And then he married a Swahili woman.
Oh, yeah.
And my mother was, you know, left alone with 9 children.
Oh.
So my mom, you know, she was a very strong nomadic woman. So yes. She sent the children one at a time to their father, especially there were 6 boys, you know, who could keep up with 6 teenage boys. So she sent them to dad, and then he opened a small hotel in Malindi.
Oh, wow.
And then afterwards we came with him. But the amazing thing about what happened when my mom came to, it was a very rural kind of small town.
In those days.
In those days. And it was really looked after by a chief. So the chief of the place called my mom and said, and gave her a piece of land and said, cultivate this for your children.
Wow.
But my mother, being from a nomadic lifestyle, she didn't know how to grow things, one, but she didn't speak the Swahili language. The culture is totally different.
Yes.
So she didn't trust these people. So she said no. And afterwards, you know, whenever the harvest comes, my mom would get some of the harvest. And as you know, very communal.
Yes.
Whoever lives there gets the harvest. So I remember my mom then starting to cook. We had this small tuck shop at home.
Ah.
And it became food, became the exchange.
So that was an income generator.
That income generator, a way of getting to know the community, a way of giving back. Mm. You know, when you come somewhere and you're respected, you give the respect back.
Yes.
And so mom was giving back. And I remember, you know, that interaction, even without language, which translates
so good.
Language. And so it's really when I remember this anecdote of my life and coming to Australia, the same thing happening to me. This time I came as a refugee, but I was given that plot of land in a way. It was government housing.
Wonderful. So,
and for me, those seeds, a long time ago, that were seeded, started to germinate here.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Created that community garden.
Yes. So Mariam's been in this place 22 years, and that's where Raw Garden began.
The same house that I came into. So I feel that's the linking, you know. So that's my story back home. But I have actually written about my experiences, and I have a book called A Resilient Life.
Oh, really? I want to read it.
Yeah.
I want to read that.
You'd love it, actually. And you were going to call it Black in Brighton, which I think is really beautiful, because for anybody watching this, if you don't know Brighton, Brighton, especially the Brighton I grew up in, was very wonderbread white, and a certain class of people, and, you know, very contained, very safe, and very staid, and very Anglican.
Yeah.
And so you really broke the mold, I think, you and your family, on Centre Road.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
South Road.
South Road. And look, even there was an article on The Edge, and they did call it Black in Brighton. They wrote an article about me, and it was Black in Brighton. So
that's wonderful.
I'm happy to say these days, though, you walk through Bayside and you'll see people from all around the world. We're so much more interracial. You'll see
that's
mixed
fabulous.
Marriages. There's just a greater comfort level of, you know, being from whatever background.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more diverse. It's not perfect. It's getting there, but this is how it starts, and it's fantastic.
Isn't that fabulous? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. It only takes a cup of tea for people to really share, connect with each other.
Quite true.
Yeah,
Something magical in that cup of tea.
It is. Yes. There's something incredibly magical about that. Mm. And And I think as much as we would like to use, you know, that conditioning of separation, the minute we come together, we realize there is no separation. Mm. That, you know, the thread that links us.
Yes.
Always, yeah. The linking thread of humanity is always there.
Yeah.
It's never broken. I do an exercise. Both Robin and I have the opposite experience, being, you know, stand out white amongst thousands of people, if not more, and sort of like that all the time. And you get good, bad reactions. You get all kinds of reactions, but you're never off stage. Mm. But I do an exercise with people I used to in Thailand, and I'd have people say, okay, I've told you about me, now tell me about you. Who are you? And they'd always go, I'm Thai, I'm Buddhist, I'm, you know, and they'd say their profession, maybe a mother or a father, and they'd work that I'm a PhD, I'm a this and that. Mm. And it was a lot about accomplishments, and very, very rarely did they get to the point. And I'd say, there's more. Something we all are in this room. And they just, you know, and I found this no matter where or who or what, people struggle to come to the point. Oh, I said, before that, what were you before that? Before that, before you were Buddhist, before you were a man or a woman, before you were whatever, human being.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden everyone goes, oh, and the whole atmosphere would change because this is our starting.
That's the leveler.
And that's why it doesn't need to be said. I think it's there. You know, you're human. I can see I'm human. And so all these other dividing factors are just things that were, you know, conditioned and all that. Yeah. But I think the one thing that humanity needs to remember is respect. And I think our justice is in respect. The minute we respect ourselves, and we can totally respect others.
Yeah.
And what respect also gives us is the other virtue of trust. The minute you respect yourself, you start to trust yourself. And once you have respect and trust, there's very few other things that you need. Only those two virtues, I think, could, you know, take us to our humanity. Or it would even take us to the connection of love. You know, we would understand what love really means. Because that's what we're lacking at the core. I think we've forgotten the respect. It's been so disrespected that we've let go of that.
I think that's true. And actually, I think in my experience, having been in Asia for 28 years before I went to Africa, I think it was wonderful because in Japan, I was naturally lower in rank because we whiteys sometimes would bathe with soap in the bathing unit, which is very, very dirty. And sometimes if we put out our trash, we'd leave the metal on the glass trash. So we were very under the level of the Japanese high standard. And that was very good for me to be humiliated time and again, not because people were looking down on me, not because in any way they were arrogant, but because I was failing in a lot of the norms. So then when I went to Africa, I've sometimes found, unfortunately, people from overseas can come in with a little superior attitude. Yes. And I find that really, really unfortunate. But because I'd sort of had a bit knocked out of me, I came there. So I can say to this day, some of my absolute best friends have no formal education, but they're far more wise than me in all sorts of realms. They're far more intuitive. They understand all sorts of things that I am just learning from them constantly. So I find that perhaps Dusty and I had a rather unique experience where we were constantly at the bottom rung of the ladder because we're learning, because we don't use English, but we try to learn whatever language we're with at the time. It automatically, because of my stupid
It makes you
mistakes,
very simple, doesn't it?
People would laugh because I would say really stupid things because I was trying. Yes. But it's endearing. So I really am thankful that we had that rich background. Because when I come home, I see a few friends who didn't have that opportunity, and it could be perhaps a reason for a little lack of understanding between cultures.
Yes. And hence, I think why, you know, whenever you are conversing, if you invite people into the circle of grace, this is a space that is communality, you know, we're all in grace. So it's so powerful. But also people now are starting to wake up. I think we're starting to wake up to our humanity. Whether, you know, we've lived an arrogant life or an ignorant one, we're coming to that center at the intersection where we're starting to find the balance.
I think COVID has really served us in this way too.
Interesting.
Because our lives have been put on pause. And all of a sudden, everything we think we know and how our, you know, people have 5-year, 10-year plans and and all of a sudden, everything becomes very unsure. And, you know, we're actually facing death in very large numbers. People are questioning the way they work. Workplaces are questioning the way they've worked. And I don't think we've questioned these things for a very long time. Even education, we're looking at healthcare. We're looking at emergencies. We're also looking at stress and the trauma of this time. But we're also seeing our innovativeness, our community. We're seeing whether you're in Italy or you're in Uganda or you're in Thailand, we have that compassion because we see people dying or surviving or overcoming, or we're seeing beautiful stories, we're seeing sad stories, and it really is down to the basics.
Very true.
It's a reboot. And it's sort of like a refreshment to faith, a new faith, not of religion, but a faith of how am I going to deal with this unknown, this space of the unknown that is, you know, winding in front of me, because it touches your anxieties. The mind wants to figure it out, and it's not figurable, you know. So
it's not.
So I love that space of you know, the faith.
I had that experience when I hit my lowest spot last year. I had lost everything. Everything had been taken away. I was the most foreigner in Australia. I couldn't understand them. I couldn't understand the language. I had no idea what they were talking about because I'd been away for 40 years and everything was online. And there was a whole new language that was used around so many concepts that I wasn't even recognizable to me. And of course, in a way too, they were looking at me like, you idiot. You know, and they really did very bad assessments on me and my skills and abilities. And it was just so degrading. And everything was stripped away and no one would listen or couldn't get it because they didn't have perspective. And I got to the point where I just felt worthless. And it hit me in that spot. After the fire, what remains? What at your core essence cannot be changed or taken away? You may not recognize me. You may not see me. You may even think badly of me. But what at my core being is immovable. That a disaster cannot remove. That the loss of everything, that the bad naming, that the destruction cannot take away. And that's what I held on to. And I went, no matter what else is going on around me, what they're saying, what they're doing, and I'm holding on to that. And in that place, and of course, eventually it's shifted. And I found a place and I found a way that I can be of service. And I am recognized for that.
Yeah.
But it was a long, hard journey. But really having everything stripped away.
Mm.
And you know the populations we all work with and have worked with, and Mariam, your personal experience too. We've all been through hell and high water and also seen people going through those things. The resilience in us, we have to search it out sometimes. Mm. And sometimes we need buffers to support us. So that is people doing what we do in a way, we provide those buffers so people can catch their breath and find their resilience.
Totally. Yeah.
Find their core essence. Come back to what you're saying, that faith that we're created with, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
That's stamped into every human being. Sadly, quite often situations we step away or our belief systems take us away from that place.
Yeah.
So and that's again holding circle, holding space, bringing back, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it speaks to what Robin was, you know, you did for that young woman. You know, you saw the potential, you saw her strength rather than her weakness. Because I feel like in the West, people look for your weaknesses. You all that and constantly being reminded of, you know, this is your weakness. Yeah, so it really, it's incredible because I've been observing that. And, you know, as a mother, I realized an analogy. For me, I love words and analogies come to me. Mm. And I felt that, you know, when you're a mom and your 1 year old is learning to walk and he just stumbles or, you know, falls down, he sort of looks at you and sees the energy you project on him.
Well, that's very true.
Very true.
Yeah. So if you
condemnation.
Yes, if you're fearful or you're feeling uncertain, he feels the same.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're strong and you go, wow, that was a big jump, the kid stands up and starts again.
Keeps trying. Absolutely. Yes.
So that's what we need now in our world.
Yes.
We need to look at each other and see the strength.
Yeah.
I tell people refugees are resilient people.
Oh my goodness.
They look at like, you know, oh my God, these people, and they feel sorry for them. And I'm like, no, these people's journeys started a long way before they came to this.
They're here
by determination.
Yes. Absolutely.
They paved their way. They've created their path. So all you need to see in them is that strength. And see wherever you can support. So that energy projection is one of the biggest ones that we need to see in people. See the strength of people.
This is something I've learned recently.
Mm.
And I call it baptizing situations in love.
Mm.
And just washing it in love.
Mm.
Removing the evil, the ugly, the whatever.
Yeah, the mistakes. The
in love. And before I even go into it.
Mm.
And it's almost no matter what's happening.
Yeah.
Because you will meet conflict and you will meet difficulty and you will meet judgment and you will meet energy that's negative. But if you baptize it in love first, cover it in love, cover it in that energy.
Mm.
It is very powerful. And if nothing else, it sustains you. But I find quite often the toddler, the whoever, the whatever, often responds to that energy. And this is at end of life. One of the greatest things you can do is go into situations not fearful, but calm.
Yes.
With
yes.
love and kindness and not taking anyone's power.
Yeah.
Giving their power back, and one of the greatest gifts you can do for the dying, but how much more for the living? And I think that's in so many ways what we've all worked towards.
I totally agree.
And maybe on that note, I'll wrap up today.
Yeah.
I love you both so much. Thank you so much for being here.
I love you, Dusty, as well. And I think, we have entered into the world of love and really recognizing the meaning of it and the knowing of it.
Yes.
So important.
Incredible. Wonderful. And here we are, sisters again.
Fabulous.
Wonderful.
That's been so good. Thanks so much. Yes. Miriam, we will catch up again soon.
Definitely, yes. Definitely. Yes, yes. The proper African
contact hosting. From Dusty. Yeah.
Yes.